Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
And hour number two brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A great game tomorrow to wrap up 2019. It's Indiana and Philadelphia, and I am really impressed with what I've seen from the Pacers this year. They do come into tomorrow's game with a two-game losing streak, a game that they lost at the buzzer at Miami, and then they followed it up losing to New Orleans. But folks, keep your eye on the Pacers because they are really good. The head coach of the Indiana Pacers joins us right here, and that is Nate McMillan. Nate, it's Grant Napier. Thanks for coming on the Jim Rome Show. Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm doing good, Grant. How are you?
You know, I'm doing good. You know, your team really caught my eye in India. And I start with Domantas Sabonis and how much stronger and even how much better he has gotten from year to year. I want to start off talking about him and what he means to your front line.
Well, you know, he's starting for us this season. Last year, he came off the bench and did an excellent job for us initiating the offense and playing mostly in the second unit. You know, he's starting for us this year at the four spot, and he's just continued to show improvement. His ability to initiate the offense for us at the five position on the offensive end of the floor, but defensively rebound for us. He's been just really consistent for us, and he's a guy that really establishes how we play.
You know, Nate, in the offseason when you lost Bogdan Bogdanovich and he went to Utah, a lot of people said, boy, that's really going to, you know, hurt this team. And then all of a sudden you find out that Malcolm Brogdon comes over from Milwaukee. And it seems to me that when you look at Malcolm, he has been a perfect fit for your ball club.
He's done a really good job helping and establishing the style of play. Both he and Domas, you know, in that first unit. And, you know, Malcolm has, you know, done a great job of initiating offense for us, creating offense for us, establishing that defense, establishing the defensive end of the floor. Just a mature kid that we feel is going to be, you know, the future, you know, for this organization when Victor comes back. You know, having those two guys in the backcourt working together for the next couple of years. Really excited about those two being out on the floor.
You know, you mentioned Victor. We're talking about Victor Oladipo. What is the latest on him, Coach?
Victor's doing good. He's working out. He hasn't had any setbacks, and, you know, he's getting stronger. And, you know, we were hoping that, you know, that date will be coming pretty soon here. But he's working hard and, you know, playing 5-on-5, full court, and, you know, hasn't had any setbacks, and that's the big key. So he continues to rehab, and everything is going well.
You know, Nate, I don't think a lot of fans understand at times how difficult it can be in the middle of the season to take a player like a Victor Oladipo and integrate him into what you're doing without kind of taking a step back. We know that he is so talented, but how do you envision that working out?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we're going to talk about as Victor gets closer, but I expect it to be something that we will take slow. You know, we're going to listen to the doctors and our trainers and Victor and come up with a plan as far as what we how we want to integrate him back into the team. And you know, as I said, he's been playing some 5-on-5, and he's practiced with both us and our G League team for the last month, and we'll come up with a plan as far as how we will you know, involve him when he returns.
You know, Nate, I know it's a cliche when we talk about players buying into their roles, but when I watch your team play, that's what it looks like to me. It looks like everyone truly has an understanding of what you want from them and really an acceptance. Can you talk about how that process has worked to where your team has had such a good start to this year as we get ready to start a new year?
Well, I don't think it works any other way. You have to play the game hard. You have to play the game together. And I think if you do that, you bring in that effort every night and you're sacrificing and you're playing the game together, you're going to give yourself a chance to win some games. And we've had a lot of injuries the first part of this season, and we've had guys to get opportunities, and they've taken advantage of those opportunities when we've had to put them out on the floor. And, you know, as I've said to our group, it really shouldn't look much different regardless of, you know, what players are out there on the floor. You know, we're playing the same system. We're trying to do the same thing. And our guys have been able to step in and, you know, take advantage of those opportunities. You know, it will be a challenge, and we will have to make more sacrifices as guys get healthy and Victor comes back join the team. But that's a part of it. You know, if you want to win in this league, you're going to have to make sacrifices, and they understand that. And, you know, we hope that that will make us stronger, you know, and the strength will be in our numbers when everybody returns.
We're talking with Nate McMillan, the head coach of the Pacers, right here on the Jim Rome Show. You know, if you go back to your days at NC State and, you know, all the years you spent in Seattle with George Karl and all your stops along the way, is there one coach in your life that has made the biggest impact on you?
You know, Grant, I've taken from all of my coaches. You know, I go all the way back to when I played, you know, Little League basketball, and how, you know, our coaches planned our practices. I really take from all of my coaches. Coach Valvano, when I was at NC State, my junior college coach, Bob Burke, who I had as an assistant with me in Portland. You know, my first NBA coach, Bernie Bickerstaff, Casey Jones. You know, you mentioned George Karl. You know, the guys that I've worked with, Frank Vogel, you know, Coach K. I mean, I really take, you know, from all those guys that I play for and work with. And, you know, I think you always are learning, you know, because there's just, you know, so many different ways to do things. And, you know, so I'm always keeping my ears and my eyes open to, you know, what my coaches that I play for and work with are saying, but also the guys that are coaching in the league. And, you know, so it wouldn't be one guy. I would say all of them. I take a little something from all of them in the system that you try to create for your team.
Nate, the way the game is played now, there's so much emphasis on the three-point shot. You know, I watch your team play from time to time, and it seems like you take more mid-range jumpers than a lot of other teams, and there are analytics this, analytics that. What is your philosophy, and how much do you pay attention to analytics when you coach your team?
Well, we do chart, and we do look at analytics. You know, but I think, you know, each team is different. And, you know, my team last year is different from the team this year. And I think you have to coach them different in the sense that you try to put your players in the best position to be productive out on the floor. And, you know, if you have a team that can run and shoot threes, I think you try to take advantage of that. If you have a team that you need to slow it down and you need to execute and be a half-court team, I think you take advantage of that. You know, I look at really Coach Popovich years ago when he was going up and down the floor, and he had Tony Parker and he had Horry, and, you know, those guys were playing, shooting a ton of threes, and, you know, teams, you know, the league, you know, started to change how they were developing and putting their teams together. Well, all of a sudden, you know, Coach Popovich has one of the biggest teams in the league. You know, he went back to two bigs, and, you know, he coaches to put his players in the best position to be productive. So I don't get caught up in what other teams are doing and trying to be. Like, we can't be Golden State. We can't be like the Rockets. You know, we have to be us. And we have to try to put these players in positions where they can be productive and take advantage of their skill and what they're capable of doing. And if that is, you're shooting mid-range shots. We want points, and I'll take two if I can get it.
Nate, Happy New Year. Really appreciate you joining me on the show today. We'll see you soon.
Grant, thanks for having me.
That's my pleasure. Nate McMillan, the head coach of the Pacers right here on the Jim Rome Show. And again, big game tomorrow. They're taking on Philadelphia. It's in Indianapolis. They are 21-12. They're coming off two losses. Again, the one was in Miami. And boy, the Heat are really surprised that they're playing so well. That was a game at the buzzer. Milwaukee's the team to beat in the East. I don't think there's any question about that. They really look like they are loaded. 800-636-8686. Before we get to the break, why don't we check in with Aaron? He is calling from Milwaukee here on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I was just saying, man, I think the Bucks would be pretty good, man, if they get rid of Middleton, man. I think it's the Kevin Michael, man, and Kevin Middleton. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to be hard for us to get over the hump.
I think they're going to miss Malcolm Brogdon a lot in the playoffs. That's where I think they're going to really miss him. I think right now they can do it, but I think in the playoffs that's going to be very interesting because he was so good for them in the postseason.
Offensively and defensively, yep. I mean, I like Wesley Matthews. I think he's a good addition. And Culver is just, we don't got that killer instinct other than Giannis. Everybody else got double bubble, and we just got Giannis there. Get him out of the game, and we ain't got nobody else to go to.
Here's the bottom line, and thanks for the call. This is what it all boils down to. Giannis is the guy, and he has got to really carry this team. He's the superstar in the league. You know, he's the reigning MVP. And when you get down to those games, he's got to be the guy that takes you there. I like Milwaukee's team, but again, I want to see what the impact is for the Milwaukee Bucks without Malcolm Brogdon in the playoffs. All right, when we come back, I want to get back to football at 800-636-8686. Best football story of the year, the worst. I want to get into this quarterback story again. What is going on in the NFL with certain quarterbacks that don't seem... You look at Baker Mayfield yesterday and bickering with the fans in Cincinnati and... all the distractions. You got Jameis Winston and his comments. If you did not hear what he said after the game, maybe we'll replay that for you. Unbelievable. It's hard for me to fathom. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll take your phone calls. 800-636-8686. Grant Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to Nate McMillan. We move right along here, hour number two. Open phone lines at 800-636-8686. We'll talk some college football in hour number three with Brett McMurphy from Stadium Network. We'll talk some NBA basketball with Mark Stein from the New York Times. But as I said, right now we take your calls at 800-636-8686. How about Ron Rivera? Looks like he's going to be the new coach of the Washington Redskins. And you look at Rivera, you know what sticks out to me about him? All of the comments from current and former players and all the accolades about Ron Rivera. I mean, there are times when a coach will get fired and you don't see anything on social media. And that tells you all you need to know. How about all the players that came out in support of Ron Rivera? And look how bad the Panthers have played since he left. Not that they were playing great with him, but... boy, you want to talk about a team that just looks lost. Now he goes to where it's not official. Looks like he's going to be named today the new head coach of Washington. You really want to work for Daniel Snyder? I mean, seriously. So what was it? The money? Are we talking about just that? That they're able to get Ron Rivera. Now I would say this. The Redskins deserve all the criticism they've received. They have been an awful franchise. I mean, Daniel Snyder has been a horrible owner, period. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, they have made bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. But I'll tell you this. Based on all of the NFL players, both current and former, that have played for Ron Rivera, they swear by him. And he obviously had some success in Carolina. Maybe this will be the answer, at least the start, for those long-suffering fans in Washington. Because that team has been horrible. Absolutely awful. Now, we talk about the quarterback position so often, right? And I talk about Baker Mayfield, and does he have enough maturity to take the Cleveland Browns where they want to go? And I think you got to stop blaming the coach all the time. That's the one thing that drives me crazy in pro sports. Well, he needs a coach that he can... No. Well, he needs to play for New England. How did that work out for Antonio Brown? Bill Belichick able to control him? At some point, the player has got to look in the mirror and take responsibility. Now, I'm not blaming, you know, Baker Mayfield's poor play this year on Freddie Kitchens. Wasn't this the same guy that they were raving about last year that was responsible for Baker Mayfield playing so well in the second half of the season? Now, all of a sudden, he's not good anymore? I don't understand that. Here's something else that I don't understand. Dak Prescott. Do you see Dak Prescott's numbers this year? If you want to break it up for a 500 team. Against playoff teams this year. Okay? How about a record of 1-6 with 8 touchdowns and 8 interceptions? How about non-playoff teams? How about a record of 7-2, 22-3? So if you're a Cowboys fan, again, who do you want to blame? Everybody's blaming Jason Garrett. Who'd you want to blame before that? You going to blame Campo? Just go right on down the list. You start with Jerry Jones. That's who you should blame. And until Jerry Jones steps aside, the Dallas Cowboys are going to remain a team that underachieves every single season. But with that said, if you're looking at the NFC East right now, which is a horrible division, where would you put Dak Prescott among quarterbacks in that division? Would you put Dak Prescott ahead of Carson Wentz? Or let me rephrase that question. If you were starting a football team today, and I told you as a general manager, here are your quarterbacks that you can choose. Wentz, Jones, Haskins. I want to put him in because I think he'll be the starting quarterback of Washington next year. General manager or Dak Prescott. Who are you taking? I bet you're not taking Dak Prescott, number one. And I would tell you that I'm not sure that I would take Dak Prescott, number two. I would take Carson Wentz, and based on what I saw in 1 year, which is a small sample size, I would take Daniel Jones because I think his future is very bright. Now, I'm not saying Dak Prescott's a bad quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. He's a better than average quarterback, but I'm going to stop right there. How many times do we have to watch Dak Prescott overthrow wide receivers in big games? I'm not even talking about this year with the apparent shoulder injury. Go back to last year. Go back to the year after that. You know, at some point, you got to make those throws. The top quarterbacks in the league don't miss throws like that. Now, it could be worse. We talked about this in the first hour. You could be a Jameis Winston fan. And if you're a Jameis Winston fan, there's a good chance it's because you bet on the over in all these games. And not only is he going to score points for his team, he's going to score points for the other team. So if you're a gambler, is there anything better than being a fan of Jameis Winston? Of course, Bruce Arians, the head coach, didn't exactly give Jameis Winston a ringing endorsement after the game. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because Jameis Winston has it all figured out.
We all know. Come on. I guess we know what we got to fix. There's no reason for me to be specific. You know, you look at my numbers, I'm balling. You know, I got to stop giving the ball to the other team. Right? Like, it's not a trick question.
Do you worry that these turnovers will be a reason why they don't bring you back here?
That's the last thing on my mind. I'm focused on how I can get better. Because I know I eliminate those, I'm gonna be the best. So that's bar none. You better check your sheet. You know, I eliminate those, I'm gonna be the best.
If I can eliminate those, I'm going to be the best. There's my sheet. Delusional. That's my sheet. That's the word on there for Jameis Winston. 5 years in the NFL. If I can eliminate those, I'm going to be the best. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, 7 of which were returned for touchdowns. And the last play of the season is once again a complete misread of a basic coverage of an NFL defense. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how far you can throw the football. I don't care if you throw for 500 yards. I don't care if you throw for 30 touchdowns. That's fine and dandy. If you can't read defenses well enough to prevent 30 interceptions, which I didn't watch every game. I didn't watch every throw, but I watch a lot of the games. I would wager to say 20 of those 30 were absolute horrible reads. Right? Isn't that what we see with Jameis Winston? Don't you look at him play and you go, God, he looks like he's great. Then on the next drive, he makes a throw in the double and triple coverage. And you ask yourself, what on earth did he see on that play? How about the last play against the Falcons in overtime? That's quarterback 101. I mean, that's not a throw that a five-year veteran in the NFL can make. Just not. If a rookie quarterback makes a throw like that, you're going, gee, what on earth is wrong with you? What are you looking at? But you can say, well, he's in his first year. NFL defenses are more complex. He hasn't seen that before. It was a disguise. It was this. It was that. Okay, you're fine. Second year, you could even go, all right, you know what? Doesn't have a lot of games under his belt. Third year, no. Fourth year, no. Fifth year? Did you hear Bruce Arians after the game? You certainly cannot blame. You can certainly not blame Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they want to go in a different direction. Now, what would the new year be for Grant Napier to be sitting in this chair on the Jim Rome Show without wishing a happy new year to Sam in Queens, New York? Sam, I can't believe it took you 90 minutes to call the show. How are you, Sam? And do you have a poster of Carmelo Anthony in your living room?
Every single square inch of the house, Grant. Happy New Year, as always, to you and the missus. Happy Kwanzaa as well. You know, Grant, you know who's not going to have a Happy New Year heading into 2020? Sam Presti and Daryl Morey. They slandered. They tried to blackball. They tried to jettison the 10-time All-Star, the former scoring champ, 6-time All-NBA, the most accomplished basketball player in amateur Olympic history, the best rook from Red Hook. He redefined history, fashion history, by wearing a hoodie. 6 20-point-plus games already for Rip City.
14 and 18, Rip City.
Resave their season.
14 and 18.
Back. They would be currently the AFC. They are a playoff team because 14
and
of this
18.
Man.
14 and 18.
He saved Rip City season. You can deny it all you want. They are a playoff team now because of him. You know who he is. The The 18th leading scorer in NBA history.
14
and
18.
If Kevin Garnett keeps talking, he's going to be the 17th.
That's
leading
great.
Scorer in NBA history.
Hey, Sam.
Carmelo Anthony.
Sam, so you got the league pass, so you're getting to bed very late because he's on the West Coast, right? But you're okay with that, staying up to all hours of the night. That's fine with you, right, Sam?
I have no problem watching greatness, Grant.
Okay, that's beautiful. Hey, Sam, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Grant.
Oh, my gosh. How about Sam? You know what's nice about Sam this time? Sam is in a very good mood because he finally can watch his, I'm not even sure what adjective to use to describe how mellow would be in Sam's eyes, but good for Sam. You know what? Carmelo Anthony making someone happy back in Queens, New York. All right, it is time to get to our sports update here at the bottom of the hour. Here's Greg.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't forget, coming up next hour, we'll talk some college football with Brett McMurphy from Stadium Network. We'll talk some NBA basketball with the Hall of Fame writer Mark Stein from the New York Times. We'll take your phone calls at 800-636-8686. Something else I want to get into. I want to hear from you Cleveland fans, all right? Who do you want as your next head coach? And do you have hope in that dog pound? After a disastrous year of 6-10 and a coach for 1 year, Freddie Kitchens, fired last night. Give me your thoughts on that. All right, let's get to Paul calling from Sacktown. What's up, Paul? You're on with Grant Napier on the Jim Rome Show.
Grant, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, Paul. What's going on, man?
Hey, listen, man, I was sitting here listening to the show and hoping to hear, you know, a little bit more coverage, man, and I'm just going to cut through it, man. Me and you have been – we've had some history. I don't know if you would call me, but I'm here in Sacramento. I've listened to your show all the time. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. You're just a notorious Niner hater, bro.
Did you hear my interview about with Charles Davis in the first hour?
I missed it.
Yeah,
man,
you missed it. Okay, well that's too bad because you know what? I had him on for like 15 minutes and we spent 5 minutes talking about what a great year the 49ers had and what impressed him the most about the 49ers. And so you know what, Paul? I'm sorry that I ruined your new year by not talking about the 49ers for 3 hours on a national radio program. I apologize.
Well, this
do you,
is my
do,
thing.
You,
you're
do you accept
you're
my apology?
James Winston and his, you know, 30-something interceptions. You covered them for, you know, you covered that dude for, I'm sitting here watching the clock for like almost 7 minutes.
Yeah, you know what, though? But that, again, I already talked about the 49ers. And here's the other deal. I'm going to talk a lot more about the 49ers as we get through the show. You got to listen to the whole show, Paul. You got to listen to the whole thing.
Grant, this is my question to you.
Yes.
This is my question to you. First of all, do you see him making it to Miami? And secondly, I was going through some stats over Jimmy G since the time he recovered from his ACL. And, dude, he has amazing stats. So I wanted to be able to spin them to you, wasn't able to. I'm going to get off the air. Listen, I just want to wore the Niners in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
And you stop being a hater.
Hey, Paul.
I know.
Paul, you listen to my show in Sacramento. You know I picked 49ers to beat Seattle, right? I actually said I didn't think the game was going to be close. I was wrong there. It was very close. But on my show with Doug Christie on Friday, both of us, even though he's from Seattle, we both picked San Francisco to win. I hope that makes you feel better, Paul. I actually picked them to win the game last night in Seattle because I'm such a Niners hater, Paul. There you go. He got me. I'm a Niners hater. Do I think the 49ers can go to Miami? Not only do I think they can go to Miami, they should go to Miami. Okay? So you figure, when you look at the matchups, who would be the team that you would be most fearful of if you're San Francisco? There's a very good chance that they might be playing Seattle in the first round of the playoffs, meaning week two, if Seattle can go and beat Philadelphia. If you were to have a rematch of Seattle in the first round for San Francisco, is that a matchup you would like to see? Clearly, I think if you're a 49ers fan, you better be rooting for Philadelphia because I'd much rather play Philadelphia. And I know they're on a roll, but boy, I don't see them going into San Francisco and winning that game. And I'm assuming, and maybe I shouldn't, that New Orleans is going to beat Minnesota because San Francisco will play the lowest remaining seed. Paul, am I talking too much about the 49ers for you? I don't want to like bust your bubble. I know you're back home and you know I don't want to like, you know, go overboard here. Let's say you play Seattle. Divisional opponent. Both games this year have gone down to the very last play. Do you want to see Seattle again in that scenario? I'd much rather see Philadelphia. All right, so if you get by that, if you're playing Green Bay, if Green Bay is your opponent, and I got to be careful about too much on a regular season game, but Green Bay went out to San Francisco, was it a Sunday night or a Monday night? I want to say it was a Monday night. It was Sunday? Thank you. It was a Sunday night. And San Francisco destroyed Green Bay. And their front was too much for the Packers' offensive line and Aaron Rodgers. They completely neutralized Rodgers and that Green Bay offense. Game was not even close. What did we learn from that game? We learned that all games are a game of matchups. That is not a good matchup for Green Bay. I think that is a very good matchup. If I'm San Francisco, and I know we have a lot of fans in Wisconsin, and I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan and known him for 15 years. I'm a big fan of Aaron. He's great. We all know that. But when you talk about matchups, if I'm San Francisco, I'd much rather have Green Bay playing in my house for the NFC Championship game than New Orleans. I don't want to see New Orleans. You know, again, cold won't be a factor. You don't know about the precipitation, but the bottom line is, the one thing we saw a couple of weeks ago when San Francisco was in New Orleans, they couldn't stop New Orleans. Now, New Orleans couldn't stop San Francisco, and I don't know if we'd have that type of a shootout if that were the matchup in the NFC title game. But bring me on Green Bay if I'm San Francisco. I think that's a better matchup. I think the front of the Niners against that offensive line is too much. So do I think San Francisco is going to the Super Bowl? You know, I do. I do think they're going to the Super Bowl because they've passed every single test this year. And I said on my radio show back in Sacramento, I thought Kyle Shanahan was made a huge blunder in the game a couple of weeks ago in Santa Clara against Seattle. I thought it was horrible. Bad decision. I thought he should have played for the tie after the first and second pass in overtime was incomplete. Seattle was out of timeouts. If they run the ball, there's no way Seattle has enough time to go down and kick a field goal to win that game. And in that situation for San Francisco, a tie was as good as a win. And had they done that, they would have already won the division before they even stepped off the airplane in Seattle. But that's okay. You know what? Coach Shanahan can say whatever he wants. His team's the number one seed. So that did not cost them the number one seed. But they've passed every test this year. They already proved that they can play with Baltimore. That's a toss-up game. Boom. Baltimore wins the game. Field goal. Game over. Went right down to the wire. Coin flip. So they've already shown that they can play head-to-head with Baltimore. They beat New Orleans in the Superdome. So they've already shown that they can win a game against Drew Brees and that offense. They destroyed the Green Bay Packers. They just beat an injury-plagued, decimated Seattle team. And a game that went right down to the wire that should not have been that close. I would not want to see Seattle in the first round of the playoffs for me if I'm San Francisco. And I know the mentality is, hey, we're the number one seed. Bring them all on. I just would get a little nervous with the Seahawks playing in Santa Clara if they're able to beat Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on that? 800-636-8686. Black Monday has not been that bad yet. I mean, we know about Kitchens. We know about Pat Shurmur. Giants co-owner John Mara talking to the media in New York. They got a long way to go. Their defense is pathetic. I mean, their defense is absolutely awful. Now, they have the fourth overall pick in the draft. Probably not going to be able to get Chase Young unless you move up. They don't have... Their linebacking core may be the worst in football. Their back end is young and inexperienced. That is a Giants defense that needs a lot of help. Their offensive line, is below average. Nate Solder has been an absolute disappointment at left tackle after completing his second year. The big free agent signing by David Gettleman from the Patriots. Guy's been subpar, below average, terrible. The offensive line is still not good. They got to fix that. And I like Daniel Jones. I mean, based on what you saw in year number one, he looks like he is really good. So Pat Shurmur is out. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, but there are a lot more problems with the New York Giants than Pat Shurmur. Now we get to Jason Garrett. His contract, they're saying, expires on Wednesday. Would someone please explain to me why that would matter? Whether you get rid of Jason Garrett today, tomorrow, or Wednesday? Like, what would be the big deal waiting till Wednesday? That's number one. Number two, if you're a Cowboys fan, can we stop blaming the head coach every week, please? Now, I know last week everyone was baffled by the fact that Dak Prescott threw the ball 44 times against Philadelphia. you know, because of his shoulder. And I'm not going to disagree with that. And I'm not sitting here saying Jason Garrett's the coach of the year. And I'm not saying that if I owned an NFL team and I was a general manager, I would want Jason Garrett as my head coach. But you got to stop blaming the head coach in Dallas every year. We know what the problem is there. All right, let's get to Greensboro. And Larry joins us right here on CBS Sports Radio. Hello, Larry.
How you doing today, sir? Good. Green Bay Packer fan since 1963.
Beautiful. Bart Starr and everyone. I like that. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. What I'd like to say is, Aaron, we thought we would have some better receivers this year, but they really have not panned out. And all he is playing with is Devontae Adams. Now, Jones is off the charts. Our defense, we thought our secondary was going to be okay, but somebody gets hurt every week. And I don't think if we win the first game, how could we beat the Saints? I don't see how we can beat New Orleans.
Listen, Green Bay, to me, at home, because of how the Saints perform in cold weather, and I'm talking about Drew Brees, yes, I think they could beat the Saints. I don't like their matchup if they meet with San Francisco. I think that's a bad matchup for Green Bay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Jose in Fremont, you're on with Grant Napier on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead, Jose.
What's up, bud? Hey, check this out, man. Die Hard Raiders fan, he's a ticket holder. Look, man, Derek Carr, let me get your opinion. Carr performs really good versus crappy defenses and crappy teams. When the real teams show up, he underperforms. Now, my problem with Carr is he makes these bonehead moves where he throws the ball away or he throws it to the ground when he's got all this green landscape in front of him to keep running. What do you think Gruden's going to do? I hope he moves on because, I mean, year six now. Come on, man. He's still doing bonehead decisions.
I'll tell you what I think about Derek Carr. I don't think he can take the Raiders to the next level. I don't think he has what it takes to be that guy. I think he is, you know, an average to a little bit better than average quarterback, but I don't see him being better than that. He does not play well on the road within the division. I mean, that is very apparent. We know about he has not won a game and where the temperature's under 45. I mean, all of that factors in. I just don't know if he has what it takes to get the Raiders to that next level. And I would say right now that they would go in a different direction.
Do you think they are this year, or do you think they're going to hold on to him one more year? Because I think they should, especially with all the veterans out there, and Gruden loves his veteran quarterback.
Yeah, well, look, he took a veteran quarterback, you know, the first time around in Rich Gannon and turned him into an MVP because he was exactly the type of guy he was looking for. I covered that team back in the early 2000s, and they were really good, and Rich Gannon was tremendous and for that team. But, yes, and thank you for the call, Jose. I think they are going to go in a different direction. I really do. Let's get to Danny in Kansas. Danny, thanks for calling CBS Sports Radio. Danny.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Danny?
What's going on?
What's your question?
Hello.
Hello, Danny. You're on the air. What's your question, buddy?
Well, I was going to sit in agreement with you on that San Francisco doesn't want to see Seattle again. I mean, it was 50-50 this year with them. And I looked at that replay. It could have gone either way. But San Francisco has shown that, you know, they're the class of the NFC by far. But, you know, Seattle's not a team I want to see in the playoffs again. And as far as Baltimore is concerned, they've shown that they're the class of the AFC. I don't think that people are going to have to worry about the Patriots too much. But, you know, that's why you got to go out and play the game. It can't be played on paper.
All right, Danny. Thanks, man. We're out of time. I got to run, but appreciate the call. Baltimore obviously is the class. I keep an eye on Kansas City right now. I think getting that week off is going to really help. It looks like we're coming down to a Baltimore-Kansas City showdown in the AFC title game, and that would be fun to watch. All right, third hour, we'll talk some college football as well with Brett McMurphy from Stadium Network. We'll talk some NBA basketball. But your phone calls, we have an open segment coming up at 800-636-8686. Again, 800-636-8686. 2 hours in the books, one remaining right here on CBS Sports Radio.